Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
Well, hey guys, we're going to get going this morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on this podcast. Last week, we did talk about these 10 lessons on biblical masculinity, on helping men win in that regard. And we looked at a man's relationship with God, a man's relationship with his family, and a man's relationship with his church. And this morning, our aim is to really unpack that first point there on a man's relationship with God. And in doing so, we're going to be talking about personal revival. And we'll just come out of the gate, and I want to read a quote from Crawford Loritz, who I know, Keith, you've had the privilege of speaking with and working with, and I've read some of his books. I've never met him before. But he says, "Preaching and teaching is a message from God for the people at a moment in history." Keith, you got to do a conference with him this weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, it was a conference that was held at First Baptist Cartersville, and Pastor Kyle Walker's there, and know several of those men down there, been able to see God work in those lives, and been a part of that. It's been a great privilege and honor, and I was able to see Crawford this past weekend, and absolutely true statement that he makes here. And not only when you're looking for a word from God, or you need a touch from God, or revelation from God, it is true when you look at preaching from that perspective that it is a message from God. I like to say it's for me at my moment in history. So I think part of that's just, you know, really buying into God's word and the power of it and what it does as we respond to it.
Yeah. I try to tell my people here on Sundays when we get ready to hear from God's word that he definitely has something to say, right? Over and over in scripture, it says, "And the word of the Lord came," and the word of the Lord came. And I like to remind my people that they don't really need to hear from me. They need to hear from him.
Amen.
So what did he unpack or talk about this man and his personal revival a little more? I know that's very important as we look at a man's relationship with the Lord, that revival really starts with us. You know, so I don't know who said it. I've heard 15 people talk about this concept of drawing a circle, stepping in the circle, and say, start revival with everybody in this circle. Let it start with me. Does he talk about that a lot in some of his conferences? Or I know you do a lot, but
yeah, I mean, I think really that's just the heartbeat of a man of God, a pastor, a leader, whatever. I think really the call in our life is to help people be in a right relationship with the Lord. And really for me in my story, that's just, you know, for me, it was, I knew Christ at, you know, came to know Christ at 11 years old and really wasn't discipled or shepherded and wasn't able to, you know, experience of what it's like to live a victorious Christian life on a consistent basis and really live in a repentant lifestyle. And so this personal revival has to do with, you know, humility and honesty and, you know, drawing that circle, stepping inside that circle and asking God to send revival to that circle. And I just really believe that everything changes when we seek the face of God, and it does impact our family. It does get to others, and it gets in the church, and hopefully that's a movement that is created that has lasting impact for, you know, not only the season that you might be in and needed a fresh touch, but it also, you know, in that Psalm 119 is where we actually teach from this biblical principle on revival. You know, Psalmist is written 176 verses, and he said, "I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." So he's looking to God to really speak, and we just thank God that, you know, he does through his word, and he uses preachers and teachers and all those things. I'm reminded of what Leonard Ravenhill said. He said, as long as we're content to live without revival, we will. Mm. Then he said, "Revival is costly. It will cost you more to miss it than it will to find it."
Well, how do you help guys understand the importance of revival starting with them? Because typically, I've seen this in my own life, and especially any pastors or guys that are on staff that are listening, is there's a lot of times where the people's needs take up our time. And those things are right and good. There's a lot of times when preaching, I mean, just the weight of preparing something new and fresh every single week. Just that, man, that kind of stuff weighs me down, right? To always make sure the word is speaking to me before I ever speak it to anyone else. And so many, I read a book. I'm starting a new book. I don't know if you guys read it yet. It's When to Walk Away by Gary Thomas. Somebody highly recommended it to me. And it talks about the ebbs and flows of the life of Jesus, really. I just got into it, so I'll speak to what I've read so far. But he talks about how Jesus often would walk away from people. And sometimes it was people that would not listen, so he'd go to people that were. Sometimes he was moving to the next town. Sometimes Jesus walked away for his own soul, right? For his own personal nourishment. He would often get away in quiet. And I think we miss this point in the life of Jesus that we think he went from one city to the next, from one ministry to the next. And sometimes it took him a couple of days to walk there. And there was a time of that, even that personal revival in the life of Jesus. So why do you think, Keith and Justin, you can chime in too, why do you think guys just pass that by of the need for their own personal soul to be nourished before they're ministering to the other people's needs?
Yeah, I think we forget about, you know, we must live dependent lives, and, you know, we can figure it out. We're living in a current world today that we can Google everything. We can get in our contact list and we can do those kind of things, pull up on YouTube, whatever the thing that we're dealing with is, and make a phone call or whatever. But I think part of the at least my understanding of revival is that, man, I need God. And there's a sense of God neediness, and there's this humility that's there. And at the end of the day, until you're honest about who you are and where you are before a holy God, you're really probably not going to experience revival. You're going to keep moving. You're going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and you're going to figure it out. And that's a lot of times, that's the worst thing you can do, because really miss the power and touch of God.
That's absolutely right. If the listeners haven't heard anything so far besides make your bed for your wife, I think even more importantly than that is what you just said. We must live dependent lives. For any preachers that are listening, pastors that are listening, lay leaders that teach on a daily basis, I heard the other day, what a true statement. And you guys know this because you guys teach and talk all the time. This guy talked about the need for personal revival, for God to do something in our own heart before we transfer that need and desire to other people. But he said, a desire to preach without a desire to study is just a desire to perform. Man, that was good for me. I don't know about you guys. That's good stuff.
Really good stuff. That's why you go back to that statement, you know, preaching and teaching is a message from God. It's got to be from God. So then it's for the people at a moment in history. It all starts, I think, with that circle. We step inside that circle and then get other people praying for us. I mean, there's times I know that I need a new revelation, a new insight, and it gets weary and difficult, and he wants to be the strength of that. And he puts his hand on the weak, and I want to be the one he's got his hand on.
Yeah. And you see the ebb and flow of this in the book of Exodus, that God would talk to Moses before Moses would talk to the people. Hey, come up on the mountain. Let me give you my word. Let me give you a message that's for me. And then go down there and relay that same message to the people. And it's not like, I tell other guys in ministry all the time, it's not like God doesn't speak to the people as well as you, because he does. I mean, there's wise counsel in others, right? Iron sharpens iron, those type of things. But sometimes I just really do believe, especially as men being the leaders in their homes and the churches and in the culture, that sometimes God gives a word for a man that a man must relay to his people, to the people underneath his leadership and care, those he's shepherding. So, and maybe that does bring us in to our next point here on this personal revival. And I want you to answer, Keith, or talk about how this helps relate to a man and his personal revival. I think we've already talked about this, but let's talk about a little more. Truth not transferred and not transform.
Yeah, that's a staggering statement, because it's, you know, not only, I think God's not only wanting to work in your life, there's others he's wanting to touch as well. And that's what we see in the gospel, and that's what we see in a missional movement. He starts with someone that he might get to someone. And then, you know, when you think about Jesus' teaching and you think about passages that you've read over the years and even this morning, probably, I think it's important But to really come to the fact that, man, God is the one speaking to me. And if he is the one speaking, it's hard to walk away from truth when he is the one teaching you. So when he's dealing with you about something, I think he's trying to move you to a place of obedience, to a place of, you know, responding to him, relying upon him. And part of that means that, you know, it's not only trying to get into me, he's also, there's truth that's got to come, hopefully, and I embrace it to get to somebody else. And that's what the gospel is all about. And that's what revival is all about, is seeing cities change and families change.
Yeah. Do you think, though, that's at least in the ministry realm, why so many pastors are quitting? I was just having a conversation yesterday with a guy that is getting married to a young lady in our church, and he's a youth pastor at a church in Tennessee, and they're getting married here. And we were talking about, they're looking for a staff member like we are, and they're basically like, there's just nowhere to be found. I mean, staff are a dime or dozen right now, guys in the vocational ministry. Do you think that's something to do with this unhealthy pastors? And I'm not talking about physically unhealthy pastors, but just men in general on truth not transforming them in their own personal lives. Do you think it has anything to do with kind of men giving up or pastors quitting? That makes sense to you?
Yeah, I think there's probably some element to that. You're looking at the post-COVID church, and so we weren't worried about cameras. We weren't worried about live stream. We weren't worried about, you know, preaching to an empty building. We never had to deal with that. And then now it's become, you know, somewhat of a production. I mean, their church is spending a lot of money on the entertainment side of ministry and the production side of ministry. And you know, really, I think that's something that, you know, we're trying to do all we can to keep up with like probably the way the culture is shaped. And I just don't know that we're ever going to be able to keep up. So that creates a distance and a tension there that, if we're trying to do all this production stuff and get the lights right and the stage right, and we're going to miss the one on the throne. And you know, I just really think it's something that we need to really evaluate in our personal relationship with God. And, you know, I don't have the lights and the mirrors in my house, but I got a Bible and the Holy Spirit, and God speaks through his word, and he challenges us. And I can't go get the music right. I can't sing. My kids can sing. but I do have a Bible. I do have a heart to see them walk with God. And I really believe that God uses the simple things and to profound the wise. I think there's a scripture that says that. It just uses simple things, and which really turn into supernatural. Nobody can take credit for it. And it's just the work that God does in a man's heart that is open and honest. And it's not manufactured. You can't make this happen. You just got to be responsive when he does speak and move. And the key is obedience. So I think he's going to speak in a moment in history. He's going to speak at a moment in history in your family, a moment in history in the church, a moment in history in the community you live in. You know, just like you guys, you know, you're ministering to people everywhere in different places, and you know, talking to pastors even this past week, and some tragedy that's hitting their churches. That's a moment in history. How is he going to shepherd and lead, and how is he going to minister and serve in a needed hour of maybe this individual family's life or this whole community where there's, you know, tragedy that takes place and people lose their lives? So I just think, you know, this truth being transferred and the transformation of that, there's got to be, I think, the evidence of an almighty God at work here. And I think in America, just being honest, we've gotten pretty good at doing church without him.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you. We want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.